Welcome in to a Tuesday Daily Tap. It is January 23rd. You can find us on Snowtap WI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, as well as subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play. A couple more to be coming in that vein. It is a very special podcast because we are talking about the firing of Jason Kidd. Yes, it actually happened on Monday afternoon out of the blue from the complete clouds. Jason Kidd is fired, and thank the Lord. So we're going to react to all the fallout. Might take us the whole show. If we get some time, we'll do some rapid fire. But I imagine this is going to be a topic that we'll talk about for a while. So make sure you check out Snowtap WI. It's a website as well. We have a lot of kid coverage going on today and yesterday. If you haven't seen the John Malkovich thing, that's been huge for us. We have some very good site stats from that. Happy to see it. So let's dive right in. So kind of where you were when you know Brew Hoop, the great SB Nation blog, asked where you were when Jason Kidd got fired. I was just at my desk. I got a text from Mitch, co-host of Tapping the Keg, was like, holy shit, Jason Kidd got fired. And he said it to two group chats, and I was like, what? And like, refreshing, and sure enough, Woj has the tweet about Jason Kidd getting fired. And it came out of nowhere. It was really surprising. I'm not going to lie to you. I wrote about the fact that maybe this last week could define him, and we talked, if you go through the Daily Taps from Sunday, from the one on Thursday when they lost, or Wednesday night, or yeah, Thursday's show when they lost to Miami, about how this Bucks team just hadn't been able to finish, and there were glaring issues wrong with this team, yet I didn't think this would mean that Jason Kidd would get fired. I didn't think that this was going to be the time to let go of Jason Kidd, but it happened. And the Bucks kind of showed themselves here. And John Horst, I think, won a power struggle over Jason Kidd. Now, it's going to be made to seem like a power struggle, and we'll get to that snake Jason Kidd in a little bit here. But it's not a power struggle. John Horst is taking control of this team. John Horst is putting his foot down, saying, this is my team. And either you're going to adapt, or we're gonna just start doing it my way, which means getting rid of you and having Joe Prunty run the team for the offseason, or run the team for the rest of the season, and then get, you know, probably one of the more impressive coaching lists to come out of a job, because everyone will want to coach Giannis. Every single person will want to coach Giannis. Now, there's some guys who are untouchables, or some guys you don't want, and we'll get into the coaching search a little later, but this is going to be such a popular thing. And so the Horst made a power move. And the reason he made a power move right now, the reason Horst made the decision today, is because the Bucks are heading into an easy part of their schedule. And he knew that if he didn't let go of Jason Kidd now, the Bucks could shoot all the way back up to the 4 seed. And then it's like, what do you do? You can't really get rid of a guy who has the 4 seed right there. Like, you just, that's not something you do, right? It's not commonplace. It would be completely bizarre. But right now, where the Bucks are, the move gets made, and that it's a genius move by Horst. It's a genius move by Horst to really see what was going on, because he knows that the time is right. So you look at the schedule upcoming. You got Brooklyn, Chicago, Philadelphia, Minnesota, New York, Brooklyn, New York, Miami, Orlando, Atlanta, Denver, and then you go to the All-Star break. There's a lot of winnable games in that section. And the Bucks are going to have some chances. So they knew that they had to make this move. The other reason they had to make the move is because I think the team was unsure what Jason Kidd would do with Jabari Parker. So this has become a story, and I think it's going to be a bigger story today, about the fact that Jason Kidd and Jabari Parker went on this icy relationship and haven't had positive dialogue in months. And that Jason Kidd basically was done with Jabari Parker and didn't really, it doesn't sound like Jason Kidd wanted anything to do with him. And I think there was a legit worry from Horst and the organization, maybe more Horst than him, than anyone else, that Kidd was going to bury Jabari and only play Jabari 20 minutes. And I think he would have, A, drove Bucks fans wild if that would have happened, but B, Horst couldn't get a true evaluation of the type of player Jabari was. Kidd would hide him on the bench so that the Bucks owners would think that he wasn't worth any max money. And it was a diabolical way to get rid of Jabari Parker. while this kind of sounds like conspiracy theory, remember, Jason Kidd is a snake oil salesman. I've said that for a while now. And the fact is this is the type of shit he pulls. So I think he wanted to avoid having these awkwardness with Jabari. And so Horace got rid of Kidd to see what exactly he has in Jabari, what he has in the combination of Giannis, Jabari, Chris Middleton, and Eric Bledsoe. He wants to see the whole package. Now, granted, injuries are always a factor. It could happen again. Hopefully not. I think every Bucks fan would go to like a catatonic state if it would happen just like it did last year. But the Bucks need to get a full, clear picture of what they have in this team to know how you make a move going forward. And whether you look, the deadline is earlier this year. It's the 8th. So whether you make a move for a player, and I don't think the Bucks are going to get any guys who are, let's say, the Kevin Loves of the world. I do think that Kevin Love could be a fit, and we're going to write about it on SnowTap later today, so look forward to that. But the fact of the matter is like, Horace needs to get a clean picture, and he didn't think he would get it from Jason Kidd. He knows more about that Jabari Parker relationship than any of us know, and I think that was the tipping point to tell the organization, like, hey, look, this isn't working out. And I think Giannis was mad, and Giannis is upset about the whole Jason Kidd thing. And I do think that someone's going to tell him, you should really talk to Jabari. You should really have a conversation with Jabari about this. Because I think when Giannis finds that out and realizes that things weren't going well, he could see it. And the fact of the matter is Jason Kidd had his favorites, and then he didn't have his favorites. Guys like Malcolm Brogdon, he wasn't a favorite. Sean Kilpatrick, not a favorite. There are guys on Rashad Vaughn. There are just Thon Maker, a favorite. There are guys who Kidd gave preferential treatment to, and if you don't believe that, I would ask you to watch more Bucks games, because it's clear as the day is long that Jason Kidd made it an effort to actually deter some guys from really, really reaching their full potential. Jason Kidd, and I wrote about this a little earlier today, but it's worth repeating about the whole situation with him and Giannis, and leaks it to Ramona Shelburne of ESPN. And while I respect Ramona and I think she's a very good reporter, it's extremely disappointing that Jason Kidd went this route, that Jason Kidd had to go back to the, oh, I'm such a victim. Oh, Giannis, he loves me. He wants me to stay. But the Bucks owners, they're the assholes. Giannis is mad. Yada, yada, yada. So now this is his whole thing, and Jason Kidd throws a wrench into the thing. Like, let's not focus on me being a fucking terrible coach. Let's look at the fact my star player is mad that the organization got rid of me. And, oh, by the way, Giannis is on a break right now. And I think, and so now you almost wonder about that break, right? You wonder if maybe this was a calculated move, because the Bucks kind of had an idea that maybe we're going to fire Jason Kidd. And the reason Wes Edens went to Philadelphia is to get one last look, to get one good look to make sure that we were doing the right thing and that this decision was made. It did seem like it happened quick, but I guarantee you these conversations happened. You'd want to ask yourself, which game did it end? Which game was the one that maybe people got the eyes on? To me, what I think it was I actually think it was either the Indiana game. It was a combination of the Indiana game and then the Golden State game. And you're like, well, they should have beat Golden State. Like, no big deal, right? They shouldn't have beat Golden State. But the fact of the matter is they were right in that game and they fell apart in the fourth quarter. And Jason Kidd played Thon Maker and Matthew Dellavedova for 6 minutes. And I think that's when people started to realize, like, holy shit, this guy is stuck in his ways and there is nothing we can do to save it. And so I think Giannis is going to come around. I don't think this is a big worry. I know Giannis is going to be looked at with a microscope. Thankfully, he plays teams like Brooklyn and Chicago right off the bat who have zero answer for him. And he can go to work. And I think the best thing Prunty can do is feed Giannis early and often. I know Chris Middleton is on a heater, and I know Eric Bledsoe played really well this week, and Brogdon looked good, but I think you have to feed the beast early and let him work, because if he gets comfortable and he just starts playing basketball again, none of this shit's going to matter. And he's going to know Kidd's not there, but you know what? He's just going to play his game, and all Giannis cares about is winning basketball games. And yes, the kid thing is a factor, but it is going to get way overblown by sports media. Sports media is going to want to think that this is the thing that's going to drive Giannis away from the team. Steph Curry was bummed when Mark Jackson got fired. Better things are ahead. Giannis is going to have a front row seat on who is the head coach. He is going to have the LeBron-like treatment. The guy is going to get to choose who he wants to coach this team and who he doesn't want to coach this team. Giannis will have a say. And trust me, he will talk to guys at All-Star. That's just a fact. He's going to talk to some of these guys at the All-Star break. I hope he seeks out a guy like Steph Curry who says, you know, hey, you went through this. Like, how, you know, what'd you do? You know, Kevin Durant went through this with Billy Donovan, Scott Brooks. You know, he added, I mean, there are guys all over the league who have had this happen to him, and Giannis will get to pick their brains. And I hope Giannis does it. I mean, I think he would do something like that, but I don't know. So let's just hope that I think he'll get over it. I hope guys would tell him, hey, look, he was holding you back. If you look at like what Brad Stevens could do with Giannis Antetokounmpo, it'd be fucking incredible. It would be orgasmic every time. Like just straight, we would all have boners the entire game. Like we'd have to consult a doctor. You know, it'd be a Viagra commercial. So that went off a little tangent there, but well, what are you going to do? So I do think, you know, we could go through a list of 100 coaches of who might have the job. I don't want to bang on people for some of their bad coach takes, but we have to clear out some. Guys, no Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson, remember, he only got the Warriors to 50 games, and then he couldn't take them over the hump that when the hump was winning multiple championships. Does that sound familiar? Okay. No to Tony Bennett. If you think Tony Bennett can coach in the NBA, I have no idea what kind of basketball you fucking watch, because it is obviously not the basketball that I watch. Get all the way out with the Tony Bennett stuff. Don't even try. Bo Ryan, I don't think anyone really thinks Bo Ryan's going to coach this team, but pinheads are going to pinhead, so I have to at least just give a subtle mention of that. I'm trying to think if there were any other bad ones I saw. I did see a Coach K. That was mind-numbing. Yes, Coach K would leave with the top three high school prospects in 2018. That would be exactly the year he'd leave. Calipari, that's a little interesting. Calipari is one that I think we're going to have some conversations about. I'm not ready to have like this whole conversation about Fizdale, about if they bring in Fizdale, could they try to recruit LeBron to Milwaukee? That's an interesting way to spin the Fizdale stuff. If they get Jeff Van Gundy, you know, is he going to know today's NBA? Is the fact that Van Gundy bitches all the time about referees on national television going to put his team, whomever he coaches next, at a significant disadvantage, potentially? You know, is Messina, I don't know his first name, I'm sorry, but Editan Messina, I think that's it. So correct, tell me if I'm wrong, tell me if I'm right. You know, he's a guy who has a ton of experience in the Spurs system, as well as very successful EuroLeague coach. It would definitely be a high risk move, but who knows? And could Joe Prunty win himself? Here's a question. How does Joe Prunty keep this job? How does Joe Prunty end up getting this job? I will say, and whether it's a grain of salt or it's worth noting, Brian Anderson, the great Brewers announcer, as well as a NBA on TNT announcer, made a comment that he was very happy to see Prunty get the job. He's known him since the Spurs days, so he's amazed at how much of a smart basketball mind he is. And Prunty doesn't have to be kid's whipping boy. He can do things that he wants to do. I guarantee you, Joe Prunty has put in a phone call to Popovich today or the next day and to say, hey, you know, I know we play each other later this year, but you know, what things do you think I could do with this team? I guarantee you he sought out advice from Popovich, whether he'll say it or not. So I think the way Prunty would keep his job, and I think this might be the only way, just considering how many guys could be looking at this job. Like there are NBA coaches who are coaching rosters that I think would want to coach Giannis. I don't think a guy like Steve Kerr, I don't think a guy like Brad Stevens, I think there are untouchables. Eric Spoelstra is another one. Maybe not Eric Spoelstra, but guy lives in Miami. You're going to tell a guy in Miami to just come up to Milwaukee, you're going to have to pay him a bunch. But a guy like Rick Carlisle, maybe. A guy like Mike Budenholzer, kind of has that DUI thing, but you know he won 60 games with the Hawks. You know, is that a possibility? There are going to be guys who are out there that are coaching right now, and that people aren't going to expect, that are going to have interest in this job. No question about it. It's going to happen. So back to Prunty. I think Prunty, the only way Prunty gets this job is if the Bucks get to the Eastern Conference Finals or the NBA Finals. I think there's no way that he would lose his job if they go to the NBA Finals. He would become the head coach. There is no question about it. If they got to the Eastern Conference Finals, unless they got completely outclassed, I think Prunty would keep his job there. You know, the divisional, and yeah, I think it's a whole cascade effect. Get to the first round, you lose. Okay, they did what they could. They salvaged the season. Look forward to next year. New coach, new feeling. Get to the divisional round? Yeah, maybe. I think, you know, if Prunty has to look at it like this, if I get this team to the first round, if I get them to the divisional round, even if I don't get this Bucks job, I'm probably getting a job somewhere else. Someone else is going to give me a job. So I do think that that's, you know, worth filing away. So, okay, that's about it for the Bucks. The Bucks, we did recap the game, so look for that. But I thought they did play well. I think they did what they could against the Suns. It was a little tight, but the Malcolm Brogdon stuff was awesome. Hopefully this is a springboard for Malcolm Brogdon having sort of a redemption part of the second half, and just a big middle finger to Jason Kidd for the entire moment. I would love. I guess the reason Brogdon was gone was a family matter, but you almost wonder. You gotta wonder. Okay, so some rapid fire topics just to finish us out, because I don't like to talk about one thing. This is the first time I think we've done a podcast where I talked about one thing for literally almost all of it. So let's run through a couple things. Raw 25 happened tonight, Monday night Raw. A lot of great memories. Stone Cold giving a stunner to the McMahons was fantastic. You know, the fact that D-Generation X came out in full force and all those guys, and it just brings you back. I mean, the Attitude Era will always stick with me. I am not a wrestling fan anymore. I maybe tune into a WrestleMania. Braun Strowman's awesome, though. I'll tell you that right now. Braun Strowman would easily be my favorite wrestler if I still watched. Him putting Brock Lesnar through a table while as a running suplex was fantastic. So I do think that there is there's a fun part about that to reflect and to remember all the different nostalgia things. Mighty Ducks is maybe becoming a television show. I'm kind of into that. I feel like they could make it a lot like Friday Night Lights, and I feel like there is an opportunity there to really do something and almost maybe take that third. Mighty Ducks 3 sucked, right? But the whole high school angle, maybe a prep school and these kids coming in from a public, or kind of blend 1 and 3 together. And yeah, I think there's a real chance there. I hope that actually happens. I think there are some legit legs. And David Carr being a Pro Bowler is absolutely fucking ridiculous. I don't really care about the Pro Bowl, but come on, man. The guy fucking sucked. Reality television, I didn't watch Vanderpump or Summer House, but Bachelor, Crystal got the final rose tonight in one of the more disappointing things I've seen in a while. Carolyn is awesome. And Ari, that cuck, can just kick rocks. Like, who would choose that? I know it's kind of for the drama, and it seems like she goes completely off the rails next week. But, man, oh, man, she is just terrible. I hate her. Just the voice, the attitude, just everything. It's just terrible. Just sucks. So, good villain, though. That's makes a good reality television show. It always does. Okay, Tappers, we'll be back tomorrow. We'll be doing Tapping the Keg with Mitch Pratt. We'll talk a lot about this Jason Kidd stuff. Probably, you know, get Mitch's perspective on a lot of it, since I talked a good amount already. And then look at the Vikings losing, a little preview to the Super Bowl, as well as I think next week we'll have Nolan Murphy on. I think we're going to try to see if we can get Nolan on for the little Super Bowl pod. So that would be great. We will talk to you Wednesday on Tapping the Keg. We will talk to you again on the Daily Tap Thursday. Look for all that. Thank you. Subscribe everywhere, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and iTunes and Google Play. Take care. Have a good Tuesday, Tappers. See you.